Blog Talk Radio.
Thank you for listening in. This is Abiding Love Worship Center Ministries with Evangelist Aaron and Sheila Gervais. And tonight we're going to be covering a message just titled Awesome. Because it's all about praise. It's all about what happens when we are people of praise. What happens between us and God? What happens between us and other people? Now, I'll let you know that I'm fighting a little bit of allergies, so if I sound congested, I just apologize. But the message, the word must go on. So once again, the last message we talked about was That's So Righteous. And this week we're going to talk about Awesome. And we're getting it from Philippians chapter 4. I'm going to read verses 4 through 8. It says, Rejoice in the Lord always, and again I say rejoice. Let your moderation be known unto all men. The Lord is at hand. Be careful for nothing, but in everything, by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known unto God. And the peace of God, which passeth all understanding, shall keep your hearts and minds through Christ Jesus. Finally, brethren, whatsoever things are true, whatsoever things are honest, whatsoever things are just, whatsoever things are pure, whichever things are lovely, whichever things are of good report, if there be any virtue and if there be any praise, think on these things. And so we're going to talk about if there be any praise in this message. You know, bad news always travels faster than good news. Why is that? Well, I'll tell you what. The reason is that people, unfortunately, feed off of fear. They feed off of paranoia, darkness, and bad news. It could be closely linked to gossip, but goes even deeper. It is a feasting, a hunger for what is big and bad. People want to be part of something bigger than themselves to get attention, to be a part of it, even if it's just negative and full of darkness. For example, have you ever noticed when something good happens and someone posts it on Facebook, you don't see others sharing and saying, praise God, I know them, I know that person. No. Instead, you only see that with tragedy. An example is, I'm just going to give you an example. One time I was ministering some youth, and there was a young girl who had taken her life in town. Now, this young girl's name I've never heard around church. I've never heard her mentioned from the ones in the youth. I've never heard her name. And we had a service, and we were praying, and somebody was bringing it up, and all of a sudden, you know, people were posting how they were their best friends, and they lost their best friend, and everything else, and really getting attention on to themselves over this tragedy. And I said, and finally, I took some of these youth apart, set them apart, and I asked them, I said, so some of you are saying this girl was your best friend. Oh, yes, they were our best friend, and oh, we did everything together. We knew each other from youth, and I said, how many of you people actually then told your best friend about Jesus? And it was quiet in the room. You see, it wasn't that this young girl was their best friend. It was not even that they knew her that well, is that they wanted to jump on the bandwagon because she had taken her life and everybody wanted to be part of something bigger, something that had bad news. And so, once again, after tragedy, it seems like everybody posts and everybody seems to be the best friend of the tragedy. People are always trying to be a part of something bigger than them. Let me give you an example, a biblical example of this. Look at these two scenes and how the people are and what they gravitated to. The first thing we're going to see is found in Matthew chapter 21, verse 8 and 9. Matthew 21, verse 8 and 9. Now, this is when Jesus was on trial, and of course, is before his crucifixion. And verse 8, it says, and a very great multitude spread their... Well, this is a week before when he was just coming into Jerusalem. And a very great multitude spread their garments in the way. Others cut down branches from the trees and strawed them in the way. And the multitudes that went before and that followed cried, saying, Hosanna to the Son of David. Blessed is he that cometh in the name of the Lord. Hosanna in the highest. You see, in this passage, there was something different there, and they were getting into the bandwagon. People were joining it for a moment. Because if we just look, like I said, just a few days later, about a week later, Luke chapter 23, I'm going to read verses 20 through 24. It says, Pilate, therefore, willing to release Jesus, spake again to them, but they cried, saying, Crucify him, crucify him. And he said unto them the third time, Why? What evil hath he done? I have found no cause of death in him. I will therefore chastise him and let him go. And they were instant with loud voices, requiring that he might be crucified. And the voices of them and of the chief priests prevailed. And Pilate gave sentence that it should be as they required. See, the good news about him coming in peace did go throughout the city, but it was very short-lived. Because why? It was good news. It was something that they kind of looked forward to for centuries, but yet it didn't take on very much. But the people jumping on the wagon, think about this, some of the same people who were shouting, Hosanna, Hosanna, just less than a week later are shouting, Crucify him, crucify him. And it changed the mind of the Roman leader. They jumped on the negativity because it was something big. It was something dark. It was something bad, and they wanted to be a part of this. You see, once again, you see that on Facebook. When something happens good and somebody shares it, it might go a little bit. But when something happens bad and people share it, for instance, you see these videos of little kids beating each other up. I saw one today, and the person who posted it said, I don't post this for people to see it. I just post it to bring awareness. It's had like 3 million hits. Guess what? Whether you know or not, you're posting it because you want some people to like what you posted. And it's something as bad as kids beating other kids. And this is so wrong. And so we need to be looking at what's going on and find out the question, if there be any praise. What does that mean? And so, once again, it is sad that when the majority goes bad, the majority goes. It is sad to say that this is human nature, but God wants so much better for us. You see, bigger is not always better, and the majority is not always right. Instead, being a part of praise is always best, because it is a part of the biggest, which is God. Believers need to know what praise is. If you ask most people in the church what praise is, they would say, well, that's the fast songs we sing at church. But praise is so much deeper, so much more powerful, and so much stronger. It is something that can actually change your life as well as the life of those around you. So what is praise, and what do we praise? The first thing we're going to look at is praise Christ, because he is worthy of all praise. Praise Christ because he is worthy of all praise. Praise is the act of expressing approval or admiration, commendation or laudation on the one it is directed to. So first, praise God for who he is. Scriptures really teach everything we need to know, so we will always start there. Matthew chapter 6, verse 9, it's a part of a very familiar prayer that people have really remembered throughout the centuries. Matthew 6, 9 says, After this manner, therefore, pray ye, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. You see, Jesus starts the model of prayer, how we should pray, not exactly what, but how we should pray, with hallowed, Our Father, which art in heaven, hallowed be thy name. It starts with praise. This praise here is very deep. It is hallowed. That means to make or declare as holy, sacred, supreme, set apart, awesome, hallowed be your name. Doing this does something powerful. How do we know that? Well, here's the truth. In your life, think about when you go through things, what is the first thing that usually goes out the door when you are going through negative stuff? What's the first thing that goes out the door? A lot of people say praying and reading the word, and that's next. But the first thing that goes out the door is praise. You stand in church, and the week before you could praise, but this week you can't. Can't seem to open your mouth, can't seem to whisper the words. Why? Because it's the first thing that goes when you're being attacked. You see, the praise of God is usually the first thing, once again, that goes out of our lives when Satan attacks. So think about this. Satan can't stand the sound of praise from God's people. He can't stand it. Why? The reason is that he can no longer do it. He can no longer do it. So if you want to do something that will make the darkness flee from you, if you are in those pits of despair and depression and things are coming against you, praise, praise, and then praise some more. Because something happens when we praise. It is something that connects us to God. It infuses us with his power and also makes the darkness flee. You see, Psalms declares our attitude of prayer and praise over and over. Psalm 67, verse 3, we're going to look at that and see. I mean, the Psalms are jam-packed with our admonitions to praise and to worship God. But Psalm 67, verse 3, it says, "Let the people praise thee, O God. Let all the people praise thee." See, we praise God for who he is. He is God. People always want to jump to praising God for things that he has done, which we're going to talk about in a moment. But the most important thing is to know that all of his wonderful acts stem out of who he is. It stems out of his character, of just the makeup of who God is. It's, why do we have loving acts from God? Because he's love. Why do we have merciful acts? Because he's mercy. Why do we have graceful acts? Because he's grace. He is those things. He is the embodiment of everything that just is the nature of everything good that we know. And so we praise him because of that. The next verse I'm going to look at is Hebrews chapter 13, verse 15. Hebrews 13, verse 15. It says this, "By him, therefore, let us offer the sacrifice praise to God continually. That is the fruit of our lips giving thanks to his name." You see, our lips should confess God's name in praise. Yet in our typical day, how many times do you hear God's name used in profanity? Christians should turn their frequency toward praise. You see, we should praise God early in the morning before the day begins, before the rush starts. We should praise God in the middle of the hurried day, and we should praise God at the end of business as it winds down. We need to offer Jesus a continual sacrifice of praise because that's connect you. Because you know something? People will hear this message and say, "You are so far out of touch. Our lives are too busy to think about praising God in the morning while we're getting ready. Our lives are too busy to think of praising God in the middle of the day when things are hectic. Our lives are too busy to praise God in the nighttime when things are winding down. Our lives are too," guess what? Your lives are too busy for God. God's going to be too busy for you. That might not set well. But a lot of people push him out, push him out, push him out, push him out. And then when tragedy hits their lives, they're screaming out to God, not feeling his presence, and wondering why he seems distant. You see, God never moves. We move away from him. And when you get to the point that you have no time for God, no time to praise him, no time to lift up his voice, realize, believer, what are you going to be doing in heaven forever? Worshiping your Creator, the King of Kings and Lord of Lords. This is the practice for that. It is that time where we prepare for that. You see, you take all your business you have in one day, and we've said this before, in 100 years, what will it matter? What will it matter that your boss wanted that extra report today? What will it matter that you couldn't praise Jesus before work? What will it matter when you can't open your Bible and pray a little bit before bed? What will it matter? Well, if anything with God's going to matter, but any excuse you put before him will not matter. And so we need to realize, we need to give him the continual sacrifice of praise. The next thing is praise God for what he's done. Praise God for what he has done in Psalm chapter 9, verses 1 through 2. Says, "I will praise thee, O Lord, with my whole heart. I will show forth all thy marvelous works. I will be glad and rejoice in thee. I will sing praise to thy name, O thou most high." See, God has so many characteristics to be praised. And also, he has so many things that he has done to be praised for. He has done so much to praise him for. In expressing to God our appreciations and our understanding of his worth. Praising God is to say thank you for everything he is and does in our own lives. Think about the personal things that he has done for you just today. I'm going to get personal here. Did you wake up? You woke up because of God's goodness. You woke up because God allowed you to live. Praise Him for it. Is your heart beating? Well, if you're listening to this, I would expect it to be. But sometimes you just got to, in the cool of the day, in the calmness, feel your heartbeat. Think about it. You don't have to think about it to beat. Praise God, when you fall asleep, you don't have to concentrate on a beating. When you exercise, it beats more so you don't die. Think about these things. God, in His intricate design of your heart, and my goodness, you lay all your veins and arteries out. I mean, my goodness, it can stretch across a football field, but yet He puts it in one little body. It's amazing. Praise Him for your hearts. Are you breathing? Taking a breath. Now, when you breathe out, praise God for it. Thank you, Jesus. My dad died of cancer. And many cancers that came and go, and he healed, got healed from many of them, but it started with lung cancer. But even with that, when he was getting close to the end, both him and my mother, it was their breathing that got labored. And they couldn't get enough oxygen into their bodies. And my dad, he knew he was about ready to go home. He was ready. He told me he was ready. But you could tell he so couldn't wait to get another breath. And what's so cool, as soon as he gets to heaven, as soon as he was face-to-face with Jesus, no more problems. So, but if you're breathing, if you can breathe, praise God for that. Now, did you eat something today? And some people, some of us can eat, you know, big slabs of meat and steak, and some of us might only eat a little piece of salad. But did you eat something? Well, praise God for that. He provided not only the food for you to eat, but the way to get it to you. He provided it to be absorbed by your body. I mean, think about how beautiful just that is. So if you ate something today, praise God for it. The most important thing, are you saved in Jesus Christ? Is He your Lord and Savior? Is your sins forgiven? Can you lay your head on the pillow knowing that if you die, you're going to heaven? Praise God for His salvation. That's the most important thing. That is the miracle of miracles, salvation. It lasts forever. Praise God for that. Do you have a loving spouse, loving kids? Praise God for them. Guess what? And even if they're not very loving, praise God for them. He placed them in your life. And then pray for them. You see, we could go on and on and on listing things to praise God for just today. Now, I'm going to give you a statistic that's going to blow some of your minds away. Do you realize that of all the population in the world, that if you have a roof over your head, you have a computer and a car, you are the top 3% richest people in the world? Wow. Think about it. In America, most of our poor are in the top 3 richest in the world. Very interesting to look at. The next thing is we need to praise Him personally. We need to praise Christ personally. You see, praise can be in the church corporately, but even then you can slip into just singing the song and not being personal. But even in assembly, or if you're alone, praise is always to be personal. It is from the heart. It is to be a relationship thing between God and you. God's heart is touched, and He is very pleased when He sees and hears His child praise Him. God comes even closer to His child when he or she praises. See, praise is a way that we diligently seek Him because we are looking for that one-on-one time with God Himself. And God is very pleased with that. And a lot of people say, well, what's important for me to praise? Well, Hebrews 11:6 gives you a really good thing about praise. Listen to this. Praise, once again, is a way to seek God. Praise is seeking His presence. Hebrews 11:6, but without faith, it is impossible to please Him. For he that cometh to God must believe that He is, and that He is a rewarder of them that diligently seek Him. You see, that one that says, I can't seem to find God, guess what? That person's not looking for God. Because God says, if you seek me, you will find me if you seek me with all your heart. Right here, he says, is a rewarder for them who, those who diligently seek him. And that reward is him, his presence. You see, praising God is very important for us because that brings us to his presence, that brings that relationship, that brings everything that we as humans really are designed for. Praising God actually also helps in the salvation of other people. Let me give you an example. If you go to a sporting event and you say you go to a Cardinal game and you're sitting with the Cardinals and everybody's wearing red and one of the Cardinals does a home run and everybody just kind of looks at each other and they stay seated and there's no hurrah, there's no hey, there's no screaming, there's no nothing. Is that going to make you more of a Cardinal fan? Probably not. You're probably going to look around and go, what's wrong with the Cardinals that the crowd won't even cheer them when they get a home run? That would make no sense. But yet people come to church. Some churches are, it seems like they're funeral services. There's no excitement when they praise. Some people don't sing. Some people don't want to stand. They don't want to clap. They don't want to raise their hand. There's nothing. And a non-believer comes in and they see that and they're like, well, why in the world would I get excited for something they're not excited about at all? Even them. They're just not excited. Why would I? Now, here is something that's really interesting. Acts chapter 2, verse 46 and 47. Listen to this. It says, and they, talking about the believers, continually daily with one accord in the temple, and breaking bread from house to house, did eat their meat with gladness and singleness of heart. Now watch this. Praising God and having favor with all the people, and the Lord added to the church daily such as should be saved. See, when they saw these believers praising God and living the life, they saw that these were just, they were fans of Christ. They were people who loved Jesus. They wanted more of Jesus. And they saw what it was all about. They got excited and wanted what they had. You see, and that is contagious. Because when you're excited for your God, other people will sit up and take notice and ask why. See, this is a part of what others need to see. In fact, it had been shared that when the Christians who would be persecuted in Rome from the lions and all actually burning them at the stake, many came to Christ from hearing the praise of the believers as they were dying. Because they saw that there was something amazing they were dying for. So praise is always directed toward God, which changes our lives. And we can also change others' lives by doing something else. The second thing we're going to look at, first, always praise God. That's the first thing. Praise Christ. He is the one that receives your praise as God only. That is it. There's no movie stars, rock stars, pop stars, nothing else. Sports figures, only God gets your praise as the supreme one, the awesome one, and God. That's him. But the next thing, if you want to see people's lives change around you, praise those around you. Praise those around you. See, we live in a world that offers no encouragement for others. It offers no praise for what people are and what people do. You want to change the lives of people around you? Start praising. It will also change us as well. Now, the first thing we have to see about praising others is this. Don't praise yourself. Don't praise yourself. One of the worst things about praise that people do is when they praise themselves. And this is such a turnoff and shows what a person has more of than anything else. Pride. They want to puff themselves up. They want to look good. And I tell you what, I'm going to read a verse in a minute, but I remember, and we're going to see what this means. But I remember one time a person coming to church and she had done something for this woman. She came in and she was declaring her praises amongst the people and what I did and what I did and what I did. And everybody was thinking the same thing, but we had one individual man in the church that, well, you know how some people don't have a guard over their mouth, and when they start to think something, it just kind of blurts out. And she just kept praising, and he just looked at her and he said, shut up, woman, you just got your reward. And everybody's like, oh my goodness, he just said that. But what he said was total biblical truth. She said to shut up. You just got your reward. Everything she would have had in heaven for that act that she did that day was gone. And let me show you those verses that prove that. Of course, she shouldn't have said shut up. Maybe she should have said be quiet. That would probably have been more tactful. But Proverbs 27, verse 2. It says, let another man praise thee, and not thine own mouth, a stranger, and not thine own lips. And let me tell you, the reason is, if you do it from yourself, you're proven that you're full of pride. See, when you praise yourself, it is a lack of humility, and it does not reflect the character of God himself. In fact, God gives us a directive in this. It actually, once again, destroys any rewards that we could have been storing up in heaven by trying to get those rewards now by praise of people. In Matthew chapter 6, it really opens this up. Matthew chapter 6, 1 through 4. And it says this. Take heed, this is Jesus speaking, take heed that you do not take heed that you do not your alms before men to be seen of them, otherwise ye have no reward of your Father which is in heaven. Therefore, when thou dost thine alms, do not sound a trumpet before thee, as the hypocrites do in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may have glory of men. So don't do as thine alms that way. Don't blast the trumpet. Why? Because they're hypocrites who do these. They do them in the synagogues and in the streets, that they may, listen to this, have glory of men. Verily I say unto you, now listen to this, they have their reward. When somebody turns to you and says, good job, because you're wanting it, no longer do you have a reward stored up for that in heaven. You've just been paid in full. Verse 3, but when thou doest alms, let not thy left hand know what thy right hand doeth. That thine alms might be in secret, and thy Father which seeth in secret himself shall reward thee openly. You see, if you do it to get attention, your reward's gone, paid in full. If you do it for the glory of God, pure motivation, God will make sure he rewards you openly. You see, in that passage, the term hypocrites is used. It describes people who do good acts for appearance only, not out of compassion or other good motives. Their actions may be good, but their motives are hollow. These acts are their own reward. Well, God will reward those who are sincere in their faith. The next thing we need to do is praise all others around you. Guess what? How much can you praise other people around you? Infinitely. You can praise and praise and praise and praise and praise. Guess what? Do you realize there? If you talk and only edify people, if they hear that you're edifying someone, it's not gossip. See, gossip is designed to tear somebody else down. And can you imagine going to a beauty salon and everybody's just talking good about people and just talking praise about people and talking about how God has done this and God has now done in people's lives, how awesome it is? Wow. It could be a place where evangelism takes place. You see, you want to be an agent of change in people's lives, then make Christ in you look attractive. It does good for believers all around you. Praise people when they do good, especially to those who are of the household of faith, other believers. This helps us encourage each other in the good fight. Now, here's a novel idea. Praise your spouse, who they are, and for the things they do. If you're going to think of anybody to praise in your life first, let it be your husband or your wife. That is the very first person that needs to come to your mind when you think about praising somebody. Let them know how important they are to you and how you appreciate them. Not only do this to their face, but also do it when you're in front of other people. Brag about your spouse. Now, don't do it in a way that puts others down. My spouse is better than your spouse. That is not what we're talking about. But do it in a way that lifts your spouse up. Do it in a way that lifts your wife up. And tell you what, if you get in the habit of praising your spouse, one day your spouse will overhear you praising them and you didn't even know that they were there. What What would this do for the relationship? You see, there's a lot of people that go throughout the relationship and don't even know their spouse likes them maybe anymore. They think they do nothing good. And if that's you, pray. Don't wait for your spouse to start praising you. You start praising them. It will catch. I promise. And so lift them up. You want to do something amazing to change people's lives forever? Praise your kids. Let them know that you notice and praise them for the things they do. They will remember those words forever. Listen, we have all said things that we regret in our lives. We've said regretful things to our wives, our husbands, and to our children. We have seen their faces hang low in despair when dealt with a hard verbal blow of disappointment. Let us take those memories and turn them into victories by praising instead. Let it motivate you to do something different. Let me give you an example. Now, I don't do a lot of personal examples, but there was one time that my son had messed up, and I was doing some correction. And I have to admit, the correction got a little over to the being harsh side. And my son looked at me and said, "But do you remember when you said, I can do all things and you believe in me?" And it took me aside because when I had said that was 5 years before. Now, I have complimented and praised him since. But those words, he remembered. He remembered those. And the thing is, you don't know what praise that you might be able to give that's going to make your kid fall in love with Jesus and have more ambition, have motivation in life. We need to be feeding them those praises because guess what? The world's not going to do it. We can. They will remember those words forever. Even if you have a hard time praising someone, everyone is extreme worth in God's sight. He created us all. You look and you will find something to praise them for. Everyone on this planet needs to know that there is something about them that somebody likes. And guess what? God loves them. Sometimes they just need to know that someone likes them to get to the point of knowing that God loves them. See, let us be like Barnabas. Look what Scripture says about this man, Barnabas. You find him in Acts chapter 4, verse 36. Acts chapter 4, verse 36. Not a lot is said about the man, but I tell you what, there are some very powerful things. It says, "And Joseph, who by the apostles was surnamed Barnabas, which is being interpreted the man of consolation, a Levite of the country of Cyprus, having land, sold it and brought the money and laid it at the apostles' feet." They called him the son of consolation. Other words for that is son of exhortation or son of encouragement. When Barnabas encouraged Christians, non-Christians flocked to become believers. Let me repeat that over. When Barnabas encouraged Christians, non-Christians flocked to become believers. So you want to be an agent for change in the people's lives around you? Start to praise and watch their countenance change. Watch someone get closer to Christ and others come to Christ through you. All because of praise. And the third thing we're going to look at is this. Humble praise to God will lift you high. Now, you don't do it to be lifted high. You do everything for God's glory. But humble praise to God will lift you high. When you seek the Lord with all your heart, with a true and humble heart, you will find him. He is waiting for you to open up your heart and life to him so he can fill you with his presence. You see, the first thing we have to look at in this section is God will lift you high. Jesus Christ did something amazing for you. Let's look at some passages about this. John chapter 3, verses 14 through 16. See, Jesus Christ did something. God will lift you high. And we're going to see what he did so you can be lifted high. John chapter 3. Going to start in verse 14. And as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up. Now, let me pause, because a lot of people say, what in the world is that about? There was a plague of serpents that was coming against the children of Israel because of what? Disobedience. These serpents were biting people and killing people all over the place. Now, for some of you who hate snakes, that would be a horrific sight. But it was allowed by God. And God instructed Moses to make a bronze serpent and to lift it up. And when people would look upon the serpent, their bites would be healed and they would live. Serpent represents their sin. Their sin had to be taken and lifted up so that those who look upon the sacrifice would be forgiven. And so in this passage it says, once again, and as Moses lifted up the serpent in the wilderness, even so must the Son of Man be lifted up, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have eternal life. For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. And let me just stop right there. See, Jesus Christ was lifted up on that cross so that we could be saved, that when we look at him and believe in him, then he starts to lift us up. You see, we have to have his forgiveness over our sins so we could be lifted up. And we're going to look at also now James chapter 4, verse 10. James chapter 4, verse 10, it says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. Why in the world does humility a part of that? See, God loves those that humbly come to him, and in so doing, he will lift you up. There are people all over this world who want to lift themselves up. Look at me, look at me, look how I am, my power and what I've done. Look at the life that I created. See, that person is going to have a hard time coming to Jesus Christ. Why? Because to come to the cross, you have to say, I can't. I can't save myself. I can't remove my sins. No matter what I do, I can't do good enough to have a right relationship with God. To come to Christ, the cross, you have to humble yourself to the point of saying, I can not, so you can receive Jesus Christ, who can. So we have to humble ourselves, and that's what that verse says, humble yourselves in the sight of the Lord, and he shall lift you up. He restores us and places us in his kingdom. Think about it, as kings and priests for his glory forever. What a trade-off, our sins for his righteousness. The next thing is, people with true hearts will praise you. People with true hearts will praise you. See, God knows what you need and when you need it, and will provide the right encouragement and praise from someone to you at just the right time. When this happens, take it humbly and thank God for it. Now, I mentioned people with true hearts. You will know when the praise is coming from a true heart and when it doesn't. You will know the motive if someone's praise is not true. You will know that it is as praise is toward you to receive something for themselves. They're buttering you up. They're polishing the brass. They know they're going to want something, so they got to give you some praise to get something. And you'll know that. It will stick out like a sore thumb. When that happens, let the praise go in one ear and out the other. Because they're going to try to hold it against you if you don't do what they say or what they want. But when it comes from a selfless, true heart, let that build you. Now, many say that as believers, we shouldn't need this encouragement from others, that if we're strong enough, we will only need that from God himself. Well, let's see how God sees that, and let's see how he sees the church. Hebrews chapter 10. Verses 23 through 25. Hebrews 10, 23 through 25. Now, like I said, this is not for the person who just has to have praise and wants everybody to praise them all the time. You got to be secure enough in God where, yes, you don't need it. What I'm saying is when it does come, it's God saying he knows you need it. And so Hebrews chapter 10, verse 23 through 25. Let us hold fast the profession of our faith without wavering, for he is faithful that promised. And let us consider one another to provoke unto love and to good works, not forsaking the assembling of ourselves together as the manner of some is, but exhorting one another. Oh, well, you know what that means? Praising, encouraging, and so much the more as you see the day approaching. So let's break that verse down. What a beautiful picture of how the church should be, really how the family should be. Now, did you catch those phrases? First thing it says, consider one another. What does that mean? It says, think of how you can bless others with your words, with your actions. Consider. Stop being selfish and think about how you can praise somebody else. How can you uplift somebody? How can you give them words? And so you have to consider that. And the next phrase is to provoke unto love and good works, encouraging each other to continue to live as Christ wants us to. Now, let me say, this is just not directed to the person who needs to do it, but it's also showing that for those who need to hear it, that God says you need to hear it, receive it. Because you're part of the church. You not only give, you receive. The next phrase is not forsaking the assembling of ourselves. And, you know, if you think about that, what's that mean? This doesn't mean you're forsaking the church if you don't go. You're forsaking your fellow believer if you don't go. See, if your person says, I don't need church, I don't need to go to church, you're forsaking your fellow believers who need you, and you need them. The last phrase is exhorting one another. That means praise and encouragement. The final directive is to do this all the more as we see the day approaching. Christ is coming, and we need him. We also need each other. We need to give. We need to receive. God ministers a lot of times to us, through us. And so we need to recognize that. God designed it that way. So let us praise Christ in others and allow what Christ did for you and does through others lift you up as well. See, this is God's plan. And when you follow his plan, praising him with everything you have, praising another, and then receiving praise that he gives through others back to you. This is the plan when you think of what is praise. And so when he says in that passage, if there be any praise, you see a lot of people are waiting for it. Stop waiting. It starts with you. It starts with me. We start to praise God. We praise others. Break chains in our lives. Break chains in their lives. Change lives. And when God wants the encouragement to come back to you, you receive it. And so I encourage you, to with everything you have, if you do not have Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior, that's the first thing you need to do so you can praise him with a free heart, a heart forgiven, a heart bound for heaven. Because without him, I'm not going to mince words. We're full of sin. We're headed to hell. You know something? So we have got to get to the point where we realize Christ has paid everything so we can go to heaven. Receive Jesus Christ as your Lord and Savior in your own words. Let us know. You can email us. And for believers, just apply this message to your life. Let it change things around you. And so, once again, we're Abiding Love Worship Center Ministries. We have, of course, this Blog Talk Radio, but you can also go to AbidingLoveWorshipCenter.com, look us up. Go to Facebook.com/AbidingLoveWorshipCenter. Friend us on Facebook. Share this with other people. And we just bless you. Remember, when you're living in Christ, you're living in abiding love. Now, just go be the child of God that you are. Thank you for listening.